We still do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange today.
Hush now, city kids, gather round for other men's. Hush now, city kids. When it came to me after so long, I didn't have no choices in the streets where I was from. When I think about the pain, I didn't have no choices. I took what I had sworn. Hush now, city kids, gather round for robbing mints. Hush now, city kids. But you know, they wouldn't let you have it any other way.
Good evening, welcome to NUFC Matters, the fans forum, the start of another week, and some new credits there for you lads. Like to do a little bit of a refresh every now and then, some trips down memory lane there, I think, for everybody. But as always, plenty to talk about on the Newcastle United side of things, even though we haven't had a game at the weekend. And I guess on a wider scale, a lot to talk about with football, with the stupid actions at Gateshead. They've earned a place in the playoffs now, had the denied because of bureaucracy. Good to see the Gateshead fans getting a lot of support from Newcastle fans over the course of the weekend. VAR back in the headlines for all the wrong reasons, and the magic of the FA Cup as well, ultimately being taken away with last week's announcement that there would be no more FA Cup replays, and the magic of the FA Cup taken away because of VAR's involvement. Chalking off a goal yesterday, which denied Coventry their rightful place in the final. But as always, plenty to talk about on the Newcastle beat, and a game coming up, which is what we're going to focus on to start with. First off, George, and Newcastle play Crystal Palace away. Crystal Palace, interesting stats, come from their home form, really. They've obviously had a good little run of late, which I know some probably would feel that, no, it's coming at a bad time for Newcastle, but let's remember, Newcastle are on a good run of their own. And despite winning 5-2 against West Ham on Sunday and winning 1-0 away at Liverpool, they have not managed back-to-back Premier League wins at home this season. Oliver Glasner's side have won 5, they've drawn 4, and they have lost 7 at Crystal Palace. And this game, I think, is an intriguing one, to say the least. Add to that the fact that Callum Wilson is back on the bench. We know that much. He will be certainly involved. Will Kieran Trippier be involved? He's certainly close, but how close is he? But Callum Wilson is back. And, of course, out of our last 3 goals scored down there, he scored a couple of them, George. So, timely return for Callum Wilson. Gives us that little bit of extra ammunition on the bench should we need it. But I'm going down here, and I'm not worried, George. I think this will be an interesting game. I think it'll be a good game, but I think Newcastle have got the bit between their teeth, and of course they've had the added bonus of having a little bit of extra time off, which has given time for those injuries to come back. So, yeah, what's your thoughts going into this game, George?
Not an easy game. We're talking before, it's going to be a tough game because they'll have their tails up. But on the other hand, will their tails be too far up? Will it be over cocky? Because they haven't performed that well at home. And there's nothing like somebody thinking it's going to be a walkover to end up in a bit of a mess. So I'm expecting a good game, but I'm also expecting that we'll sneak it. they've got nothing that should worry us, really, the way we're playing at the moment. And if what you're saying is right, and Wilson's on the bench and we've got people like him to come off the bench, that's the thing with the injuries that's been hurting with. It's not necessarily been the 11 on the pitch. It's been because we've got anybody to replace them on the bench. And when we have had, like against Spurs and others, we perform out of our socks sometimes. So I'm expecting a tough game, but a good game, but not a one that should frighten us to death if we play up to our latest standards we've been producing. As I say, with the changes on the bench with Wilson, if Trippier was on as well, it makes the bench look that more tidier. I mean, you know, people forget we've been going with a bench with three bloody goalkeepers on it. You know, when's the last time that's happened? It's happened too many times for us this year already, with three goalkeepers sitting on the bench. I mean, my view is he'd better off try a couple of young'uns than three goalkeepers, but never mind. That's for the manager to decide. But I'm feeling quite I'm happy that we can cope with this one, is what I'd say. And it's a good opportunity to cement my form and keep making progress, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and prediction from you, George, for this game? Do you think Newcastle are going to win this? I've gone for a narrow 2-1 win again. And I know people think that's my favourite scoreline. But again, I don't think it's going to be a huge win for Newcastle. I've just got a feeling it'll be tight. I think we may concede, but I do think we'll win 2-1.
Well, I'm going to go for a 1-0 for us. Even if it's a dirty 1-0, you know, we'll get a 1-0.
All right. There's one person to be a bit more pessimistic. It's going to be Darren. So, yeah, we'll go. Darren, Newcastle away to Crystal Palace tomorrow night. How do you see this one going, Darren?
I think it's going to be a tricky game because their forward line look quite good and they've got morale behind them. So, if we can control the game the first 20 minutes, we might get something from it, but it'll not be straightforward. But as long as we turn up and play how we can, we may get a result. And either 2-1 win or a 1-1. That's what I'm thinking. It'll not be straightforward tomorrow night. It'll be a hard game. But we're on form. We're playing good. And we've had a good rest now for about well over a week. So Eddie's going to do some tactics. You watch the game on Sunday, how they play. So you'll have a good idea, and we're fresh for the first time in a long time. So go down there, have our tails up, and give them a good game.
Prediction from you, Daz?
I'm going 2-1 win.
Okay, he's gone for a 2-1 win, Chippers. What about you? What's your thoughts on the game tomorrow? It's I think the break is gonna be beneficial to us. You know, the fact that Palace have won won two huge games. I think they potentially could have the flip flops on. They're safe now. They can't go down. What's your feelings?
Well, firstly on the Wilson situation, there's still a training session to go tomorrow yet. So touch wood, he gets through that first before anything else.
that is a good point. That is a good point.
But the one that I need to say tomorrow, he's doubtful again. But I'm coming at this as when we played Fulham a few weeks ago, where Fulham had just had the two biggest home wins of the season and we went down there and won, and I think we'll do exactly the same. Palace, they battered West Ham, but West Ham had a very tough game against Leverkusen in midweek, and I don't think they've got the squad capable enough to compete in both competitions. We've had 11 days off. As I've just said, hopefully Wilson's back, maybe Trippier as well. They had a bit of depth, but I wouldn't start them. Put them on the bench, yes. But, I mean, I don't see why we should fear them. We've gone to places like Villa this season and won, so I can't see why going to Crystal Palace we should be fearful of them. They've had two wins, but we've had was it three wins out of four and one draw, which really should have been four wins. But if we want European football, these are the games you have to win. I'll be honest with you, I can't really stand Palace because they had a vendetta against us when we got took over for some reason. The football ground's like a shoebox, and you know, for the fact they use happy clappers to get the fans up singing glad all over. It's pretty cheesy as it, if I'm being honest. And they go on as if they're a good fan base. Sorry, like, but if you use happy clappers, it's pretty embarrassing. Like I said, I think the 11 days will suit us fine. I think we'll go there and win 3-1. I just, you know, Isak, Gordon and Barnes, who's going to stop them at the minute? I just don't see. I don't see how they can keep them out. That Olise and Elise will be a threat, but I like to say we have more threats in our team than they have in theirs. So, and if Wilson is back, obviously, touch where he gets through his train session tomorrow, he can come on if he can give 20 minutes, get a goal, who knows? I'm going to stick for a 3-1 and stay something nice to a home game against Sheffield United on Saturday.
Okay. Barry, good evening. Oh, hold on a second. Darren, Mozza's asking where the photograph is from the food bank.
It's on my phone, I think. Where we're middle.
Yeah, can you sort that out on Mozza? Can you send it to the relevant people?
I'll put it in the message group.
Do that, mate. Do that, and then I can send it to the relevant people. Because I think David Cook was after a photograph, and I think Mozza. Yeah, there you are, Mozza.
I'll put it in the thing, because it was good seeing Barry Nutt. And he's very tidy, like, but...
Good stuff. Boy's very tidy. We'll leave that in the date and after us. Barry, what about this Crystal Palace away game?
I think we've got, like the guys have said, we've got nothing to fear. I mean, for me, whatever we do between now and the end of the season is a bonus with all the crap we've been through and all the injuries we've had. And I think the way the results have gone around us, the European places are there for the taking. I think it's up to us now. And I know, obviously, we've mentioned there about the results we've had recently. I don't think we've been anywhere near 100% the way we can play. I think we should only get better. And I think the having decent players on the bench will help that, because then it gives them chance to mix it up if we need to. I totally agree with the stuff that's been said about Wilson, whether he lasts another game and a half between now and the end of the season is here or there. But it would be great to see Trippier back, even if he's just in the squad and around the first team and edging them on the way he does. But yeah, I think Crystal Palace, they're an all right side, but they're not brilliant. So I think if we hit form, which hopefully with the break we've had, we should do. And for me, I was gutted with the 2 weeks break came. I know it's good to get some injuries back, but the form that Isaac's been in has just been absolutely class. I wanted to see him keep it going, but it's one of those things. Yeah, I think we can go down there and quite comfortably win, Steve. I think they'll score, unfortunately, because the way the defence is playing and the way they are with Dubravka, but hopefully we'll turn them over.
And did you think Darren was tidy?
Well, you know, he's a big bloke, mind. He always looks as though he's sinking into the chair on the photographs, but he's definitely a big bloke. He put me to shame.
I couldn't resist. Spenny, Crystal Palace away. This fixture is an interesting one. We've seen some good days and some bad days down there. Are we playing them at the right time or playing at the wrong time? Can you understand, like, Darren's bit of, you know, a little bit of pessimism from Darren? He did predict we're going to win, though. But
hey, it was good today, man.
You were still a bit, you're still a little bit nervous. But yeah, what's your thoughts,
Steve?
What's your thoughts, Spenny?
Well, I'm thinking some of them don't remember the last game we played against Tottenham, while we played. And that would be destroyed to Tottenham for me. I think if we play like that and we have the same team as what we played against Tottenham, I think we'll destroy them. Like, I've watched Palace a few times. Yes, they've gotten a lucky bit. But for me, I'm pleased Trippier's coming back and Wilson. It'll be a good boost for the squad to get them on the bench, or even Trippier even playing, which I think Trippier might be playing, to be honest. Tino will hopefully be back as well, so back in the team as well, like he was in the last game. I have two scores, by the way, Steve. I usually pick 2-1 or 4-1, so with you picking 2-1, I'm going 4-1 away with.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. Pablo, good evening.
Hi, mate. You all right?
Good, mate. Good. What's your feelings going into this Palace game? Six games left, six cup finals. West Ham getting beat 5-2 off Palace gives us an advantage now. You know, if we could go down there and beat Palace, you know, suddenly that whole, you know, battle for Europe takes a different twist and turn.
Totally does, mate. Totally does. I've got two trains of thought on this game. I am positive. I mean, look at the way that we played against Tottenham. Spenny, you're right. If we turn up like that against Palace, absolutely no problem whatsoever. My only train of thought is it's like two heavyweight boxers that have got mutual respect for each other, that have been fighting well and not lost. I've just got something in the back of my mind that will try and nullify each other. And it's going to be, I think they'll both kind of accept how good the opposition is. And I don't think it'll be that open like the Tottenham game. I think Palace are a different animal compared to Tottenham. You know, with just sheer organisation and grit and determination. I do think that we'll come away with a win, but it's going to be slender. I think it might just be like a 1-0, something like that. Having said that, if it's all about the defence, it depends which defence of ours collectively turns up. If we defend like we did against the Tottenham game, we'll come away with a win. I don't think there's a question about that. They've got a few handy players, but like Chip has said, so have we. Has anybody any idea what we might be doing at the back?
Well, it all depends if Trippier's fit. We're going to have some kind of idea, I guess, from Eddie Howe tomorrow, but he won't give much away. The word coming out of, you know, various sources is Trippier's closer than it's been led to believe. So, you know, maybe Trippier will be on the bench alongside Wilson. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess. It's what we've always had to do this season. So nobody really knows. For me, you would probably look at it and say, well, it'll probably be unchanged. I mean, the team that won against Spurs deserves to be unchanged.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say that. I mean, what Jacob Murphy? I mean, they've got a few pacey lads. I'd probably stick with Murphy and stick with the same defence if we can. I mean,
it's horses for courses, isn't it? Though it's horses for courses.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Pope on the bench as well.
Yeah, he's definitely on his way back, isn't he? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go for a slender 1-0 win, mate, because I think it's going to be cagey.
Okay, Kev, what's your thoughts on this Palace game?
It's a difficult one because they've seemed to have a bit of the good old manager bounce a little bit recently. So you just never know what you're going to get with Palace. They could show up one week and be absolutely flying and fantastic, or the next week it's just going to be fodder, you know. So again, but with this new manager, the way the style of play, I haven't really watched and much of them, to be perfectly honest. I know the results have been good and stuff, but I don't know how they really play. So, but again, it's going to be, I think I agree with Pablo there, it's going to be very cagey. I think it'll be a tactical battle within the central midfield area. So if we control that, I think we'll be, you know, well on our way to be have a success, a good night. But again, it all comes down to the mentality of the players after a long extended period of time off from not playing. They've been playing. So you've got to look at that psychological thing of they've been playing well, getting good results. We've had that period of time off, which we need. So I think it's a toss of the coin. Again, if we show up, agree with Benny, if we show up like we did it with the attitude and the endeavour that we did against Tottenham and the want and the will to extend our gap, if you will, from Man United to the West Hams and get closer to Tottenham, which I put in our little group the other day, that I think we can catch Tottenham. You've seen stranger things in football. Just look at the FA Cup semi-final yesterday, because I thought that was one of the best neutral watches I've seen in a very long time. So, and I turned into a Coventry fan for a while. But anyway, I think, again, I agree with Lee that it's going to be a 1-0, 2-1, scrappy, get there and just get out with the win somehow. Again, it's just controlling that midfield, and if Bruno plays like he has been and controls that centre of the park, yeah, I think we'll be not comfortable, but it'll be a good win.
Prediction?
2-1.
2-1. Okay. Lots of us going for that goal, you know, one goal in it kind of thing. Alan, what's your take on this game? On
well, Wednesday? We'll either win, draw, lose.
Yes.
on the negative side of it, we've only won once over the last 10 years there, lads, and we'll have the second worst defence in the top 10. But getting the positive, we'll play like we did against Fulham, we'll get beat in the first half an hour. But I agree with all the lads. It's going to be tight. It's going to be close. But I think if we've got the right attitude and the right personnel, we're going for Europe. And I think this is a crunch game to overtake Man United. Chelsea have got Arsenal tomorrow night. And I think that's another crucial fixture. If Chelsea get beat off Arsenal and we win on Wednesday night, that's 6 points. And I can't see Chelsea coming back up with. And if we do win, we're assured, I think, of top 10 at least. So this game, to me, is pivotal because with Man United play Sheffield United and then they play Burnley on Saturday. So, and we play Sheffield United as well on the Saturday. So these two games coming up, I definitely think, like Kevin said, and then if we do win these next two games, Tottenham fans are in meltdown now and they've got 10 points on with. So what they're going to be like with four points behind when they're playing Arsenal the next day is anybody's business. So I definitely do think these next two fixtures are crucial. If we win them both, we've got a chance of fifth. So prediction, if we score first, I think we can win 3-1.
Okay, and Alan, whenever you come on, Mozza's husband goes off and puts the kettle on because you used to be the most depressing, so he used to go off. Now, I don't know why he doesn't go for a cuppa when Daz talks.
Well, he'd be more depressed than me the day, mind you. He was born
anyway. you'll have to have a rethink on this system. I think that's what he'll have to do. Quick question then, lads, from David Cook, which is a good one. Alan, we'll start with you. If Trippier's back, would you take the armband off Byrne?
That's a difficult one. Yes, I would.
He is the cap. All right. Kev, same question to you.
Again, it's difficult, but I wouldn't. I think he's earned it. I'm not saying Kieran Trippier hasn't earned it, but he's a leader on the pitch anyway. You need to have 11 leaders, not one. Doesn't matter who wears the armband, in my opinion. So I think he's led that back three, four, whatever it's been, along beside him, literally by himself with Fabian Schär to get through all these games without him. So I'll just keep it as is, and why change it?
Okay, is that your back garden, Kev?
It's like the bloody jungle. I need to get some calipers out and start chopping trees down and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's in the back garden. And it's a lovely sunny day, so I thought I'd piss you all off, but never mind.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Yeah, it's getting to that season. Pablo, would you take the captain's armband off Byrne and give it back to Trippier if he was fit on Wednesday?
Personally, I wouldn't, no. And the reason being is I think Trippier is billed as a very professional player. I think Eddie sees the value, hopefully, in keeping Byrne as the captain. And for me, I would. You know, because he's been through a torrid time, hasn't he? And the end of the day, he's got the results as captain. He's been doing well. I don't think he will take it off him. I think it'll be a conversation between the three of them. And although we know Trippier is the captain, I think he'll stick with Byrne. I would stick with Byrne as well.
Spenny?
I would stick with Byrne. I think he's a better captain than Trippier for me. And in his position, and it's the right position to be a captain, centre-back, because you see most of the game, as George will tell you, you see most of the game and you control it, and you can control them more in the game and in the right back position, especially when you push it forward or left back position as well. For me, Dan Byrne should be captain, but I think Trippier will get it though, and Gedio will give it back to Trippier.
Okay, Barry.
I don't think there's any saying it. I think Byrne will give it back to Trippier anyway. I think if Trips is fit, I think Byrne will pass it over. It seems to me that's the way the squad works, Dave. It's the same when Lascelles is playing. It's just they've obviously got that structure set up within them. I do agree. I think Byrne's been absolutely exceptional while he's had it, but I think he'll pass it straight back over.
Okay, Chippers, what would you do?
Well, firstly, I wouldn't play Trippier straight back in because he's been out for a while. I would have him on the bench personally. I think Kraft did all right against Tottenham. I don't think there's any complaints for that performance. I think he will give him it back, but I think Dan Byrne should take a look and see. Well, he's had a few games as captain. I think everyone should have their own leadership qualities. I think they should all club together and say, you know what? No one's a captain here. You were all the leaders, and that's what we need at the minute. You will give him it back, but like I've just said there, it's a case of, you know, everyone should be classed as a captain because they've held that position. So, yeah, you'll give him it back, but, you know, it's a team, isn't it? There's no Iron team, so yeah, he'll give him it back.
Yeah, Darren.
I'll give the trivia because the only reason why, when Lascelles hasn't been played, he's given Lascelles, he's given the armband straight back to Lascelles. Kieran Traitor's being vice number two coming up best part of the season. So I would give the Kieran Trippier because that's what Eric's done. He's been loyal to Lascelles. When he's been on the bench and Lascelles come on the pitch, he's got the cut of that armband straight away off Trippier. So yes, I'll give it straight to Trippier. Any starts. But if Tino's fit, I'll play Tino right back.
Okay. And what's your feelings on this, George? Would you give the would you give the captaincy back?
One thing that isn't changing in football is once you've got a group, you've got a team, and they've organised themselves and decided who's going to do what, they're very reluctant to change. And the first person to give Trippier the armband back will be Dan Byrne. You watch what happens when Lascelles walks up on the pitch. Trippier runs across the field to put the armband on him. There's never any argument or huff or anything like that. And it's what they've sorted out amongst themselves as well as what Eddie Howe thinks. And I think on that sort of old-fashioned, traditional way, Trippier would get the armband. If you're asking me personally, if I was playing in the team, it would be Dan Byrne because he's been a revelation. But it shouldn't surprise me. In that game he played in Saudi Arabia, he played centre-back on his own with four youngsters around him, four teenagers, and he marshalled them. You could see him pushing and shoving them all over the place to get a result and keep things going. That's, you know, it just says that we've got another leader there who's great. But from a football standpoint, I'm afraid they'll have organised it amongst themselves. And as soon as Trippier's on, that's who'll get the armband. All the cells.
Okay, now yeah, the big question before we go to the ads is, Barry, have you sorted your doors out?
The bone.
I'll smash his back doors in.
Time for the adverts. Big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Telephone 0800 25 45 253. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com. Website skipsandbins.com. Easy contract free and pay-as-you-go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Telephone 01768 210102 or email info@mrvickys.co.uk. Thanks to United Group Travel. There are no strangers on our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email beverly.ugtl@gmail.com. Telephone 01670 632 460. Or mobile 0791 666 4174. Thanks to Media Arts for the technical side of things. And you can also find us as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or other podcast providers. You can subscribe to the channel by hitting the subscribe button underneath this video. Hit the all notifications bell so you don't miss a show. Hit the thumb up to like the channel. And click share to your social media. If you want to join the channel, then click join for as little as $1.99 a month. If you want to become a member for a one-off £25 payment, email john@nufcmatters.com or go to membership at the website nufcmatters.com. If you've got a smartphone, hold your camera over the QR code and it'll take you straight there. We also help the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk to the match day bucket and you can leave a virtual donation today. And don't forget the end of season due 20th of July. Tickets are £10 in aid of Dementia Matters. And you can musical interlude there from somebody. Be Barry, he's drunk.
It was me.
Supermac and Gibbo are live on stage. Ask George, hopefully not playing on his phone, and the acoustic set from the Long Sands. Tickets at £10 and in aid of Dementia Matters. NewcastleLegends.com and NUFCMatters.com is where you can buy the tickets. Okay, George, I do have a question for you. Stephen Kennedy said, if you can remember, Steve, ask George, this picture shows Frank Swift, Joe Mercer, Stanley Matthews, Frank Sue, Matt Busby, and Morris Edelston. Now, apart from the two sirs, I don't know which is which. Could George name them and tell us a bit about them?
Well, Frank Swift's the big one in the front at the left, and brilliant goalkeeper. He was so big he used to frighten the forwards. I'm trying to see the others as well. Who are the names?
Stanley Matthews in the middle, isn't it?
Matthews, yeah, yeah.
It was the bottom right, isn't it?
Frank Swift, Joe Mercer, Stanley Matthews, yeah. Frank Sue, Matt Busby, and Morris Edelston.
Well, there's Busby at the front, at the right-hand side. Matthews in the middle. Played till he was 50. I mean, you know, amazing. Hated St. James's Park. Wouldn't play at St. James's Park unless he was forced to, because the crowd used to hate taking corners at the Gallagher corner, because the crowd used to get him, and he didn't like it. And he was a great horse racing man. You know, I remember being at one game, and his horse had lost at Gosforth Park before the kickoff. And every time he came near the corner, the whole of the Gallagher corner reminded him that his horse didn't win. He hated it, absolutely hated it. However, I should add, it was using Stanley Matthews' name that I went to my first game, because the lads presented me grandfather that Matthews was playing, because that was my grandfather's. Frank Sue in the middle, Stoke City legend, really, really clever. Well, you'd call him midfielder these days, but inside forward in my days. And Mercer at the door, at the left-hand side. Great captain. Should have played for England a lot more than he did. But he wasn't part of the London crowd in those days. If they played in London, you were shooed into an England spot. Either brought us our forward, got his head in his hands for saying that the selectors in those days were the Blazers. He nicknamed them the Blazers because they all wore the England Blazers when they were at the selectors' meetings. The reality is they were club chairmen. And you probably heard O'Neill on various platforms saying, getting picked for England, that was it, they were gone. Because the club chairman used to sort out who they wanted and give them an England cap and then buy them. So I don't know if that helps.
But there you are, Stephen Kennedy. Yeah, there's your answer. Very good. Well done, George. On the spot there, and you still came up trumps. So well done. I want to know what the lads think about this. Obviously, circulating and doing the rounds, lads, on WhatsApp and social media at the moment. George, if this is the strip, what's your thoughts? I've got to be honest, I like it. It's not traditional. My idea of a black and white striped shirt is more like that. You know, I prefer that kind of stripe. But I mean, there's no yeses and no nos. But your Neil said yesterday on the professionals that you know the prototypes that he had seen, which he has got some good contacts in the area. Is saying that this isn't far from far from what they are going to release. So, do you like it, George?
I do. I prefer the narrow stripes like you do, Steve, as a traditionalist, and having worn them was great. But I still like it. It's clean cut. That's what I like about it. It's a definite black and white, isn't it? It's that's the important thing. Occasionally they get so mixed up that they're nearly grain black, not black and white. But that looks really superbly black and white for me. So it'll do. And with the various badges and things on it, it would be a smart strip. But personal preference, I'd like to see the stripes smaller, narrower. But it still looks good. Still looks good.
All right, Daz, thoughts on the new new leaked strip, whether it's true or not, who knows, but lots of people pushing this out there.
I really like it, mate. It's something different. I'd buy it tomorrow. It's something different, something new. So, and I like to have that. It's nice to have that. I'd have signed back in the corner. So, yes, I like it. So if that's what it's going to be, I'm happy with that.
All right, Chivas.
I like seeing it like that. I didn't like seeing it like not on somebody, but obviously it's an AI person. That's really not Harvey Barnes, because I'm worried about his arms like that and he's not married to us. That's not really Harvey Barnes, but you know, it looks better like that than seeing it bare. So yeah, I'll be getting it when it comes out, like for sure.
Barry?
Yes, it's a nice shirt. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of like the NTL one, which is what it looks like to me. I know a few people have mentioned in the chat there, but it's an okay shirt. My hope is that they put the white patch on the back so they can put the number on. I think the number looks crap when it's just the red number on top of the black and white stripes. Half the time you can't see it. I think it looks much better when they had it on the other day when they had that limited edition shirt for the charity. I think the red number looked class on the white patch. But I'm just as excited to see the other two, Steve. I think the third shirt looks, if it's got the Nuff badge on, I think that's the first one I'll be buying.
Okay. Any thoughts on the shirt?
Oh, I like it, yeah. I always buy the Adidas stuff anyway. I've never bought the Castro and the other ones either. For me, Adidas don't do the home tops very good. They do the away ones better, and they always have, and the training stuff as well. But I'll be buying it, yeah. And hopefully it'll be a less price than Castro to help people buy the top as well, with Adidas being a bigger brand.
All right. John says, looks like everyone on the opening picture has got conjunctivitis. I don't think he means you guys. I think he means on the advert for it. No, they're all been on the red wine with Barry. Pablo.
Just do us a favour, mate. Put the picture of Harvey Barnes on again.
All right, mate. Here we go.
I think Sven has been kicking his back doors in as well, by the looks of it. Have you been round Harvey, Sven?
What about
you'll have more of a sweat on. You'll have more of a sweat on than that.
What about the shirt? Back to the shirt. Yeah, same as Spenny, anything Adidas. I've never bought anything since because I love Adidas and I think it suits as well. The only thing about that shirt is I would have liked to, you know, with Adidas coming back, I would have liked to have been a bit more retro feel to it, a couple more stripes. And the Adidas thing in the corner, I'd have preferred it to be the trefoil, like Chipper said the other day. So I'd have preferred to have gone a bit more retro, but yeah, it's Adidas, so I'll definitely be buying it. Like, do you remember the one that Duncan? What was it, about 99? Duncan Ferdinand.
Yeah, 99. Yeah.
Like that big badge on the back, didn't it? Almost like a shape of a badge.
Yeah, horrible! It was horrible that with the badge on the back.
You're not having it.
I didn't like it. I don't put numbers on the back. He's got there.
That was the shield. Yeah.
I never ever put numbers on my back because he support the team, not the player. That's why I won't put the number on.
Yeah. I've had a couple of people saying, what's with the doors? It's because Barry, whenever he's on, has a set of doors sitting behind him. So, Barry, you move. Is that one door left, or is that your door? So, you had about three doors every week behind him, which I've got to be honest, I never noticed, Barry. I'm too busy listening to what you're saying. I'm not having a nose at what's behind you, but it's the doors that Barry had behind him that people are talking about knocking in. So, there we go, folks. Just in case we get any reports to the club saying that we're being rude on the show or not.
Abusive.
Kevin. Kevin.
Yes, Stephen.
What about the shirt?
I like it. And disagree with Barry. I like the NTL one, the 2002-03, I believe it was, in the Sir Bobby Robson days. I like that. Not more the traditionalist in terms of the thin stripes, but that's like a personal preference. I mean, I don't care as long as it's got black and white on it with a Newcastle badge on and it's got Adidas on, I'll probably buy it. I'm just more interested to look at the away shirts and the third shirt because that's more my type of realm, what I like to go and buy, even though I'll still get the black and white one, but at the same time, it's just going to be interesting the back of it. If we're going to go full solid white, or we're going to do whatever that design looks like, who knows? But yeah, just on the apparel side of it, I think that the actual three Adidas signs a little bit too big, but that's just a personalized thing to me. And I think if they'd put the crest as a stitched crest for supporters, I think that's a £1 billion seller right there, because I think that's just more
the old school traditional way that Adidas used to make strips, but I think they'll just go a typical print. Because I know my kids got the Atlanta United one, which cost us nearly $180, which was the players one, and it's all embossed, it's all in 3D type stuck on, but and it's a wonderful shirt. So that's what I'm basing it on in terms of the trim line. I would like to see what the trim line is going to be. Is it going to have a hint of blue in there? Is it going to have what, you know, so that we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'll buy it. I like it. Again, I'm just more of the away shirt, third shirt type of connoisseur, if you will.
Okay. Alan, what's your thoughts on this potential top?
Well, seeing I like everything black and white, episodes of Step to and Son and black and white. I like everything in black and white, so I like it. I mean, personally speaking, that's, from memory, it looks like similar to the 80s with Kevin Keegan with a thicker stripe there. Steve, you know, like in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I like it. I think it's good. I'm agreeing with Kevin. I normally buy the weight tops more than I buy the actual home kit, to be honest with you. But I'm just pleased that we've got Adidas back. You know, to spread the word, a big retailer, and that's what we need to sell the shirts abroad, because many times when I've been on holiday abroad, yet haven't been able to get a Newcastle top, and I think we haven't added us on board. I think it's great, and I love the tops anyway.
Do you think the fat man will sell them in his shops?
No, I hope not. Well, he can't, can he? He's lost the court case.
Ah, all right.
Gosh, he's got the last one as well, didn't he? So,
in the words of the great Windsor Davies, oh dear, how sad. Never mind. Let's stop it there before we go down some kind of 1970s woke tunnel. Alan, I'm going to ask you this question. In history, as a number nine, where does this guy stand? Inducted into the Hall of Fame today as the Premier League Hall of Fame, Andy Cole. And the man who broke the record, Hughie Gallagher's long-standing record for most goals in a season, came to us, of course, in that wonderful 92-93 promotion season from Bristol, and hit the ground running, it should be said, in the Premier League, forged a wonderful partnership with Peter Beardsley, but then left the following season under a bit of a storm cloud, I guess, and never really recovered from that. What's your thoughts? Where does he stand in the history? Is he in your top five or six number nines?
For me personally, Steve, yes, he is in the top five or six. I'm running through the names, lads, and obviously even George. I don't think even George saw Hughie Gallagher, but by all accounts, he was phenomenal. But when you go through from the 40s onwards, you've got Albert Stubbins that hardly gets a mention. Len White that hardly gets a mention. You know, who was my father's favourite by a mile.
Yeah.
I know a young player. You got Wynn Davis, who wasn't a perfect striker. That's hardly. And I tell you what, one striker that hardly gets a mention, that saved us from relegation in the late 70s, Paul Goddard, hardly ever gets a mention. And he scored a lot of goals for her. But Andy Cole, getting back to the point, Steve, for me in my lifetime, he's probably third or fourth. Shearer, obviously. Les Ferdinand, Cole. And I'm trying to think the other one that was right there. Supermac in the younger days. He was my idol as a youngster. Even though Pat Howard was my favourite player in the 70s, George. Funny enough, I love the guy because I've always been a defender. But yes, he's right up there, Steve, because he brought the excitement back in the early 90s. If everybody was around then supporting the town, that 92-93 season with Peter Beattie. And again, a lad that you know well, Steve, Lee Clark. A lot of people say Peter Beattie and Cole went together, which they did, and they scored 50-odd goals together. But the amount of goals Lee Clark laid on by Andy Cole was phenomenal, and people forget that. If you get a video of the season when he scored the 41 goals, Lee Clark laid on about 20 of them goals, lads. He did, honestly. Peter Beattie was instrumental, but definitely third or fourth best striker I've ever seen play at Newcastle, just for the ratio of goals. But like we've said in the earlier chat, Barry said it, he spoiled it because of the way he left the club and going to our arch rivals that we all hate, Man United. But other than that, phenomenal striker. Phenomenal striker.
Kevin, what's your thoughts on Andy Cole? you know, he was a wonderful striker for the club. I'll also give a mention of Mickey Quinn, by the way, because Mickey Quinn scored some goals for Newcastle, albeit at a lower level. He still scored some great goals for Newcastle, and still the greatest debut that I ever saw, home debut anyway, was that four-goal salvo that he got against Leeds. But yeah, Kevin, your views on Andy Cole inducted into the Premiership Hall of Fame today?
Well, congratulations, Andy Cole, because that was my introduction to actually having a season ticket of that season. You know, so that was my introduction of a pretty much a goal machine. Anything that was put in front of him, he would put it in the onion bag, and that's what he was paid to do. Unfortunately, we had a very short stint at the club, so we didn't get to really probably see the best of him, but we got to see him as a young buck, like a maverick centre forward, you know, just loving life playing football, and Kevin Keegan give him that license to just play and score goals. So yeah, it's you know, obviously with health issues, it's heartwarming to see him on a national recognition that people see the same thing that we saw, even very, like I said, for a very short period of time. But yeah, he was brilliant. I mean, he had pace, power. Again, knew where the back of the net was, which was his ultimate job. But yeah, he tops it. He's in my top five. So along with, you know, I didn't get the pleasure to see Super Mac. I didn't get to see pre 1990 whatever. But at the same time, I have a lot of admiration for Andy Cole and where he got us into that part in that season. And for my introduction to Newcastle United, watching it with my dad, and it was just fabulous to watch.
Pablo, where's he stand in your top 10 of number nines?
Did you say he's been in the Hall of Fame for Newcastle or Premier League?
No, he's just been inducted into the Premier League's Hall of Fame today.
Premier League, yeah. To be fair, he's lethal, or he was lethal. Like, I mean, I'm probably just a bit before Kev. It was when I started following Newcastle, so I saw the back end of him. He can't deny the lad is one of the most lethal finishers that league's ever seen. But I think the way he left us, and obviously who he left us to, it kind of left a bit of a salty taste in my mouth. And I always remember at the time watching him on interviews, and I don't know the guy, he's probably a lovely fella, but I always used to think, because I was a kid, I used to think, who's this arrogant geezer? And then when he went to Man United, they were winning everything. So I think that probably clouded my judgment of him, which was wrong. But yeah, as far as striker goes, that season, well, him and York at Man United were like telepathic, weren't they? Literally, they could close their eyes and find each other, which we've not seen many pairings or partnerships like that, I don't think, over the years. So, yeah, absolute top-class player, but for me, I don't see him as a Newcastle legend or anything like that, because I think it was too short period of time that he was with us, you know, to be classed as a real... I think we've got to respect his talent and his numbers, but it'll never be on my list of club legends anyway.
Okay, Spenny, what's your thoughts on Andy Cole? He got the ball, he scored a goal.
Andy Cole. I watched a bit of podcast about Andy Cole, and he nearly packed in football, believe it or not, when he was released by Arsenal to go to Bristol City. And he took the boom and went for it to Bristol City, and that's how we got him. He's up there for me. Because of his length of time at the club, Shearer just gets a nod above him. But he's the best striker I've ever seen at Newcastle. And I've been going since 1983. Before that, obviously, there were some great players, which I didn't see. I think it was the same time as you as well, Steve. 1983 sort of season when I started going. But Andy Cole was fantastic. He just seems, but Beasley made most of his goals, to be honest. And Beasley was the best player I've seen in black and white.
All right, Barry, what's your thoughts on Andy Cole?
Nah. I think his behaviour when he joined Man United just completely ruined it. He wouldn't even get in my top 10 simply because of, not because of his ability, not because of his goal record. Just I've got three strikers who I kind of stand getting mentioned with Newcastle, and that's Cole. I don't even really want to say it, but I'm going to have to say it, Michael Owen and Viduka. All three, well, Owen and Viduka could have been so much better than they were, and neither of them even bothered turning up. They just turned up for the cash, and the way Cole treated us when he left to go to Old Trafford, that was it for me. I'm terrible when it comes to that, when somebody like just disrespects the club when they leave. I mean, I put in the chat there, my five would be Solaire's, Big Al, Jackie Milburn, Super Mac, and Hughie Gallagher. I think Gallagher's simply by his ability and because of his size would be top of the pile for me. But I kind of forgive him. I'm really interested in what you said before, Steve, about an interview with him, because I would like to see how he felt about what happened, because it does leave an awful bit of taste in my mouth the way he behaved.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because I have interviewed him today. Obviously, I'm putting a book together with Bill Scott, who wrote Pavel and Lee Clark's books, which comes out later in the year, just in time for Christmas. And all the interviews will be made public, but I've managed to interview some fairly big names who don't often speak, and Andy Cole was one of them today. I did a 25-minute interview with Andy Cole today and asked him all the questions, which I think you would want to know the answers to. I found him to be very pleasant, but he's a shy guy, and he always admits that. And I think people might change their opinions when they hear the interview, which we will release on the channel a little bit later in the year. But it's been a great process for me, because obviously I know most of the lads anyway. So to be able to have the trust and get the likes of Coley and Mark Honegger and Philip Albert, three people who don't often speak about their time at Newcastle, to commit to doing this book and speaking to them this week's been and last week has been quite interesting. But yeah, Andy Cole, the story that he tells is slightly different to what I think most people know and what most people would say is fact. So be interesting for people to hear that. Chippers, Andy Cole inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's why we're talking about him, the Premier League's Hall of Fame. He obviously deserves it because he had a hell of a career. But he did start the run at Newcastle, really. That's when he came to prominence.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he got the ball rolling, didn't he, before, he left. And who's to say if he hadn't left, would we have signed Ferdinand or Shearer down the line? It's, if he had stayed, would they have come? Who knows? I mean, obviously, I was just a kid when he was here, but he was just, I mean, I've seen all the videos, like, back in the day that my dad had of him, and just every time he got the ball, he just knew it was a goal. And it's just it clouds us, like, as everyone said about when he left, because I think he said that he didn't like it when people asked for his autograph and things like that, and then when he went to Manchester he could get lost. And I understand him, as you said, he's a shy person, but I think it sounded like somebody who didn't get the region or didn't get the city or didn't get the fan base, which is, it's a shame. But I mean, obviously he was only 20 odd year old when he was here, so I think you might look back now and think if I was a bit older and things like that, but he was a dangerous finisher, and he's got to be up there because, I mean, I know when he went to Man U and all those trophies, but I don't think he scored 41 goals in a season again, did he? I think that was something that he didn't repeat. So I think you've got to look at, obviously, Shearer and Ferdinand ahead of him, but I think, you could probably say, for like seeing them, it's probably say third best. Of course, you didn't. I didn't get to see the likes of Mickey Quinn and all that, because I was basically a baby then, so I didn't see them. But I would say, for, as you said, Steve, you got the ball rolling for the entertainers, for them to kick on. When he left, we got the likes of Ferdinand, we got Shearer, I mean, and then we got, later on in life, we got Paul Dalglish, we got Facundo Ferreira, and players like that who, we never really saw the best of, did we? But,
We saw their backsides on the aeroplane home.
Yeah. And then we've got Anthony Riviere as well, who was another world class striker. But he's up there. It's just, I mean, it's a shame we didn't see him. I don't know how he didn't get an England squad with all them goals he scored, but
the night of George Riley.
Yeah, exactly.
David Cook says, I heard Cole on Sky saying the move wasn't his choice. We do talk about that. And we do also talk about him going AWOL, Gary. That's another question that I asked. All the questions that you would want us to ask, I asked. So don't worry about that. Darren, thoughts on Andy Cole? Is he one of your top strikers that you've seen at Newcastle?
Yeah, it's a hard one. See, I was a bit bitter when you left. I've got to agree with Barry and I've got to agree with Spenny. Peter Beardsley made Andy Cole. Beardsley and Andy Cole looked together, it was fantastic. The amount of balls Beardsley played with him to score the goals. He made Andy Cole. It's just how he left. And he wasn't here long enough. So to be in my top three, I would say no. So I would put him in top five, but don't be top three. Shearer and Solaire are definitely there. And I've got a soft spot for David Kelly. I love David Kelly when he was here. But that was the moment he was. He told you he scored, didn't he? And it's just how he left. That's sort of, that what gets me back up. How he left us, you know. I know it's something to do. I heard the reason why. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's one of them, you know. But no, I would never boo him. Like when you come back to St. James, people boo him. Like, I never booed him. Like, he was professional on the pitch. He worked hard for us. So, but no, Andy Cole, maybe a nice guy, but it's just how he left. But it's still there with me, personally.
All right, George. Not very often we ask you to go last on a topic, but it's nice to give other people a chance to go early.
It is. I hope you've got another hour there, lads. Get ready.
Andy Cole, you know, an absolute legend while he was at the club. But I mean, it was a short period of time. But the goal-to-game ratio was superb.
And that's the problem, isn't it? You're comparing Andy Cole one season with Alan Shearer, seven seasons top goal scorer, Jackie Milburn, eight seasons top goal scorer. You know, how do you compare one season against seven or eight seasons? He was a brilliant player, brilliant goal scorer, but because of the short time and the fact the way he left the club doesn't bother me. Professional footballers got a short life, and if he saw an opportunity or somebody pushed him in a particular direction, which is very possible, not the first time that's happened at Newcastle United, well, good luck to him. But he demonstrated, certainly nationally, what a brilliant player he was. But for me, one season at Newcastle United doesn't put him in the top 10 for me.
Two seasons at Newcastle, 70 appearances, 55 goals.
Well,
I've got to remember George Therese was only here 2 years as well, you know.
Well, that's fine. But as I'm saying, you're comparing, for me, you're comparing apples and pears. Alan Shearer, seven seasons top goal scorer. Jackie Milburn, eight seasons. In fact, Jackie Milburn would have been nine if it hadn't been for another great striker who I saw, George Robledo. One season.
Les Ferdinand, two seasons, 68 games, 41 goals.
Brilliant. Yes.
Not as good as Andy Cole.
Well, but I think what George is saying is he's seen more strikers better than Andy Cole.
I agree. I guess that stat in itself, George, though, that stat alone, a lot of people put Les Ferdinand above Andy Cole.
Yeah.
Yet statistically, by a bit of a way, Andy Cole is the better striker.
Well, statistically, whatever. What I like about what the others have got is the fact they've got longevity. It isn't a one-off thing. It really is about Newcastle United in their career. You know, if you're a Shearer and does seven seasons top scorer and a Milburn eight top scorer, could have been nine if it hadn't been for Robledo. Imagine having a strike force. Milburn gets 30 goals and Robledo gets 34. That's the only season he wasn't the top scorer. I mean, we'd go right on for something like that now. And as to Gallagher, well, yes, Hughie Gallagher was a clever little player, but my footballing starts in the 50s because that's the year, that's the era when footballers realised they had to be athletes, not just footballers. And Hughie Gallagher was just a footballer, put it bluntly as that. So, yes, I agree, Andy Coe's great skill, fantastic, and did well for him. But when I compare him with the likes of Shearer, every time I compare him, he falls further down the list because he didn't give Newcastle that. He gave it to Manchester United and anywhere else, but not to us. And that's what matters to me, who does it in a black and white shirt. And we've been very fortunate with strikers. And Lord, you all mentioned the names I love as well. Mickey Quinn was a brilliant striker. And there's one that nobody's mentioned, John Tudor. John Tudor used to score headers with the ball half an inch off the bloody turf. You know, his nose scraping along the grass and scoring great goals like that. So there's lots of other strikers who deserve a mention. But when he's starting to talk about top 10, Andy Cole might scrape into it, but he wouldn't be right at the top for me. There'd be others well ahead of him.
We haven't mentioned Denver Barr as well. Denver Barr had a good couple of years.
Yeah.
Numbers-wise, he did.
It's all about opinions, and that's what the Fans Forum is all about. Alan, Kevin, and Pablo, Spenny, Barry, Chippers, Darren, and George.
We're going to fix his doors, Steve.
He's going to fix his doors. Thanks to everybody in the chat.
Good to see you, lads.
Thanks to everybody in the chat. Thanks to the moderators. I'm back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with Jordy's here. Jordy's there. Take care.
Good night.
Cheers,